check who is in attendance so that in case that we are sufficient in respect of the quorum, we should start with the meeting. It's myself, I see Honorable Bartlett, Honorable Ndongeni, Honorable Baden-Horst, Honorable Say, yes, Honorable Motamai. Morrison, who I can just check other members so that they check in immediately. Based on that, we are going to start with our meeting. I said this myself, Honorable Motamai, Honorable Maleka, Honorable Bartlett, Honorable Ndongeni, Honorable Baden-Horst, Honorable Radebe, Honorable Sheikh. Yeah, but we're okay. I think we must start with our... take this opportunity to heartily... and I warmly welcome all of you. Welcome the representatives from the department, as well as from the provinces which have attended. I've seen KZN, I've seen one from Limpopo here, and anyone who has attended this important meeting. As honorable members would note, we are dealing with the Housing Consumer Protection Bill, which was which is a Section 76 bill requiring extensive, purposeful consultation with the provinces where they participate in a very, very meaningful way. And this piece of legislation is very much important in so many respects that I will not again repeat here, but it's quite important because it looks at repealing the whole previous Housing Consumer Protection Bill that established the NHBRC that sought to ensure that it protects consumers against scapulous or unscapulous poor workmanship and all those related matters. With that, the purpose of today, we are going to look at the response from the provinces, what is called the C list, as well as the responses from the department, and based on the negotiating mandate from the different provinces. As I understand, all provinces were engaged, and based on this, we'll chat a way forward about what is going to happen to ensure that we deal with the matters at hand and ultimately ensure that we revert back to the provinces to obtain their final mandate on this particular matter. I think we are on course and within the next few weeks we should be able to finalize this particular bill and then present it for consideration by the committee and later by House itself. Apologies. I'm not sure who has apologized.
Recording in progress.
Can you just quickly take us through that? Who has apologized? I've noted about 9 to 10 members who have logged in. Any apologies?
Chairperson, in terms of our record, we haven't received any formal apology from members. Thank you, Chair.
No. Yes, I assume that those who are not, who have not logged in, they are absent from this meeting. Nevertheless, we are proceeding. Without further ado, can I invite the department? I'm not sure who's designated from the side of the department to table the reports from different provinces and the responses from the department itself in respect of all of these issues as I presented them. Over to you, the department. Hello? Mas, who is designated from the department?
Chair, from the department is Mr. Paul Masemola. We have also made him a co-host so that he can be able to make presentation.
Okay, over to you, Mr. Paul Masemola.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the Select Committee and colleagues. Actually, we were supposed to be led by DDG Mhlongo, Sindisiwe Mhlongo, I'm sorry. And I'm told she's struggling with connectivity issues, but I'll then take it to lead on. We're, Chairperson, we are having, I'm with colleagues from Legal, but also we are having a colleague from Sibongile Ngwenya, Executive Manager of Corporate Services from NHBRC, Ezekiel Mhlongo, Nkadishe Rasibotsa, Natasha Forge from Legal Services at NHBRC, and Judge Moore Chukwamba from Legal Services at the Department of Human Settlements. And Chairperson, as last time we would have met and with the provincial mandate and responded to those issues that would have been raised on the mandate of the provinces, we have prepared the presentation and the C list. So we, on the presentation, we deal largely with issues that would not have included them on the C list, as much as we would have dealt with some in the previous meeting, but there are those that we just indicated that we'll consider them and will also come back to the committee to take them further. So we may I proceed with the presentation.
Yes, Mr. Masemola, proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Eastern Cape has requested that we include clause on the clause 89, sub-clause 1, the amendment as follows. The minister must, by notice in the CAS, publish a code of conduct of for members of the board and staff of the council. Now, the response is that all employees or staff of council are regulated in terms of the labor laws, which include Labor Relations Act and Basic Conditions of Employment Act. The code of conduct for board members is applicable because they are not employees. And as a result, the proposed amendment we submit honorable members that it may not be necessary to include it because the board is separate from the actual staff members of the council. Gauteng province has okay, let me use Gauteng province has inquired on chapter 2 on the requirements for the registration. since the previous act allowed the builders to request exemption through the council. In terms of the current bill, only the applicable minister can grant exemption in exceptional circumstances and in the national interest. This function retained by the council should be less strict. For example, an application by a casual home builder who only wants to build a carport cannot possibly require the minister's attention, and it cannot possibly be denied because it is not in the national interest. This may place an additional compliance and administrative burden on consumers and could be a red tape. In response, the bill does not provide for owner-builder exemption, as all homes constructed must be enrolled. Exemptions are granted on exceptional circumstances which cannot be predicted. These exceptional circumstances must be in the public interest. The minister may exempt certain persons or homes belonging to category or class specified in the notice from the provision of this act, either generally or subject to such conditions as may be specified. The NHBRC will only enroll homes where building plans are approved in terms of the National Building Regulation and Building Standards Act. It is also not expected that there will be a huge influx of applications for exemptions. As we will appreciate that this bill does not necessarily allow for the owner builder like the previous or the current act. As a result, the amendment we submit that it's not necessary, honorable members. Limpopo province suggested that on clause 40, subclause 2, this clause must be amended as follows. The duration of the warranty cover in relation to a roof leak occurring in home is a period commencing at the date of commencement of construction of home to 5 years after finalization of the construction of a home, calculated as described by subsection 6 and subclause 7 or the as the case may be. In response that the warranty cover for roof leak is currently 1 year, and the bill proposes that it be extended to 2 years post-occupation. And in addition, the warranty is proposed to commence on date of construction. So it means the bill suggests that the warranty cover for roof leak, it will start during the building of the house, the home, but even after that time, after completion, then it will be 2 years. It also will submit that the weather conditions have been factored in considering the lifespan of a roof. If a roof is able to withstand all conditions within the period of 2 years, then it has been properly constructed, and any further issues after a period of 2 years will ordinarily be a maintenance-related issues. And therefore, we suggest that it may not be necessary. But also, it is important to note that the minister is empowered to extend the period of warranty cover after a council has undertaken an actuarial assessment to determine whether the home warranty fund is able to provide for the additional period. The enrollment fee, if you do that, must be proportionally be adjusted in accordance with the extended period of warranty cover. And in that instance, clause 40, subclause 3, 4 and 5 are the ones that enable that extension. So, however, it's important to caution that it must be proved that there are sufficient funds to make sure that the cover can be extended. So we submit that the request is already covered in the bill. Northwest Province request that Section 42, Subsection 2 of the bill should be amended to make wall plate and roof leaks warranty cover duration from 2 to 5 years after the finalization of the construction of a home. And I'm sure that the request of Limpopo is also covered, the response that we had given on this one in terms of the roof leakage. But in response, we say the warranty cover is currently 1 year, and the bill proposes that it be extended to 2 years post-occupation. And in addition, the warranty is proposed to commence on date of construction. And as we have indicated, that the weather condition would have been taken into account. It is further important, let me not repeat that, but let me deal with the part of the wall plate. Clause 40, subclause 3, 4, and 5, they are the ones that I cited into enable minister to extend the warranty cap. But the matter of the wall plates are covered on 5 years warranty as part of the structure in terms of clause 40, subclause 1. So the wall plate is part of the structure, the building structure, so they are already covered for the 5 years as requested by Northwest. So it is covered, members of honorable members. Northwest also requested that there should be an addition of a provision as section 24, subsection 1H, which will include that the register contemplated in section 23 of the bill should also reflect compliance with section 8 of the Employment Services Act, number 4 of 2014, regarding employment of foreign nationals. In response, the proposal to have the register include the foreign nationals employees of the home builder to have valid work permit made by the NHDRC to enforce the mandate of the Department of Labor and the Home Affairs. The NHDRC has the responsibility to ensure compliance with all applicable legislation. All home builders who are foreign nationals are required to have and produce valid work permits when they register or enroll a home with the NHDRC. This will also be emphasized included in the regulations and policies of the NHDRC. The issue of the employment of foreign nationals by any employer falls within the mandate of the Labor Department, and as a result, we humbly submit that the amendment may not be necessary, since it will be covered in the bill. But also, those who are not having proper documentation, Labor Department and Home Affairs are best and have a mandate to address those challenges. Western Cape Province requested that clause 5, that the word there is missing in clause 5C, it should read as follows: ensure the structural quality of homes in the interest. In response, the word there, if included or not included, it does not change the meaning. As a result, it may not be necessary to effect the amendment. And clause 6C1, powers and duties of compliance and enforcement committee. It says there, section 61, subsection 1A, the reference to section 64, subsection 6, and section 63, section 6, should be reversed to reflect the numerical order in which these sections appears in the text. Refers firstly to section 63, section 6, and its attendant provisions, and then to section 64, subsection 6, and its attendant provisions. In response, it is not necessary to list cross-referencing in order of numbers. What is important is the substance and the content following the cross-referencing numbers. In clause 67, alternative dispute resolutions, as in 67, subsection 2A, the term adjudication should be reconsidered or used in conjunction with other alternative dispute resolution mechanisms such as mediation and negotiations. In response, the word adjudicate is a more generic and is facilitation of alternative dispute resolution process that can be such negotiation, conciliation, and arbitration. Adjudicate is used as a verb in this instance. So it does not exclude the other processes of alternative dispute resolution. As we have indicated in conclusion, the department would have responded to the inputs that it committed to consider. The following provinces raised inputs into the bill which are already covered and have responded to all inputs raised in the previous committee meeting, which will include the Free State Province, KwaZulu-Natal Province, Mpumalanga, and Northern Cape. Honorable Chairperson, I would then move to the C list. Thanks, Chairperson. We on what would have been from the meeting, previous select committee meeting, we would have included these things on the C list, that on page 7 in line 53, to omit technical standards and to substitute with technical standards with caps, so that it's consistent with all other areas in the bill where it is mentioned, so that in other areas it should not be a small letters and on others it be a caps, which is the similar situation on clause 40 on page 12 in line 50, to omit technical standards and to substitute it with technical standards with caps. On page 18 in line 4, to omit technical standards and to substitute it with technical standards with caps. On page 29 in line 7, to omit technical standards and to substitute with technical standards with caps. On chapter 3, page 14, line 38, after home builders, insert and developers, to make it to be in uniformity with also what is the point of that clause entails. It entails the home builders and the developers, but also in the subheading it does indicate that it's home builders and developer. On clause 30 line 37 to omit sub plus 9 to substitute it with sub plus 10, the referencing would have been incorrect in the previous B list. On clause 42, on page 22, in line 11, to omit subsections and to substitute with section, because it is not and, it's or. So we need to have it as subsection. On page 22, in line 14, after A, to insert structure. And on clause 64, on page 29, in line 54, to omit 64 and to substitute it with 65, to make it proper reference. 64 would have been incorrect referencing. Plus 85 on page 85 from line 5 to omit 2008 Ratchet Act number 5 of 2008. Because this act, National Regulator for Compulsory Specifications Act 2008, has already been defined in page 7 of the bill, so it's not necessary to quote it in full again in this clause. On clause 94. On page 37, in line 17, is to omit 2021 and to substitute it with 2024 as we are currently dealing with the bill, so it needs to be updated to 2024. The arrangement of the sections, which is in page 3, of the bill in line 2, and it's after home builders to insert and developers, which is almost similar to what we had referred to earlier on chapter 3, when we're correcting that we also need to correct at the beginning on the more of a table of contents. So that is also clearer from that on the headings. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much. That is the submissions from all the provinces, as well as the response of the department to those submissions by different provinces. What stands out is the fact that provinces did engage with the processes. They did ensure public participation happened. They contacted and consulted with the stakeholders. And based on that, they presented to us today the negotiating mandates from different provinces. And the department itself has meticulously responded to each and every proposal made by the provinces, as well as inserting certain amendments to the bill itself, having looked at what the provinces were saying in respect of their own submissions. Moving forward, honourable members, we are going to open the floor for discussion. for questions, privacy seeking questions, and for contributions from members of this committee. Over to you, honourable members. Any hands? I see the hand of honourable Rikas Bannonhorst. I also see the hand of honourable Shahid. Over to you, honourable members, in that order.
Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity. And my apologies, I'm going to leave my video off just to conserve my bandwidth. My question is a technical one, if I may. The Western Cape Parliament has submitted on the 31st of July quite a substantive list of inputs on this bill. There were general concerns and amendments. There were about six of them. And then there was technical concerns and proposed amendments, five of them. And then there was a procedural concern as well. I note in the presentation by Mr. Masemola this morning that the department is only dealing with three of the Western Cape's inputs. And I noted in the conclusion of their presentation they indicate that they're only responding to inputs he committed to consider. So my question would then be, what would the reason be for omitting responses to the other inputs that were made by, for example, the Western Cape province? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Bannonhorst. You're saying that was 31st of July 2023, is that right?
That's correct, Chair.
Okay. Maybe in their response they will also tell us when where the public participation processes or dates from the side of the Western Cape in that sense. Honourable Shahid?
Thank you very much, Honourable Shepherdson. Captain, I'm just going to raise two issues for clarity. It might also be a bit technical as well. Just in terms of the department's response to proposed amendments that practices are making on the bill, I just wanted clarity maybe in terms of the code of conduct for board members. What is the process on that? What process is followed in terms of developing that code of conduct and or promulgating it or accepting it for that matter? And then in terms of the proposal by Limpopo with regard to the warranty cover in relation to Rufik, etc., and the five-year matter, I think in the department's response it says that it covered 2 years post-occupation and on the date of construction. What clarity I want here is that, and I'm being technical here again, my apologies, assuming that when you say 2 years post-occupation means that it's only once a house is occupied, then I would imagine the 2 years kick in and they must clarify that. If a house is not occupied and it's built 2 years prior, I mean, what is the issue? I just wanted clarity on those, Chair, my apologies. I know that these are very technical. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Sheikh, as well. Any other contribution or intervention from members? In the absence of none, Mr. Masemola, over to you for the two questions asked.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Member Bannonhorst, we did attend to the provincial public comments issues that were raised in the Western Cape. We met with the Western Cape province. We discussed with them, and we dealt with that portion, but what we are now dealing with currently, it was what emanated from the mandate, provincial mandate of different provinces. So we were responding to that. And perhaps even last time when we were responding, there are those that we felt we were able to respond properly, but there are those that we took back. And that's why you currently realize that we are having three that we have responded to, or rather they were also included on the C list somehow. So that's except to respond to that, there are some that would have been included in the C list currently. But so that's the reason why the one of 31st July 2023, it was at a provincial level, and the department would have gone there and responded to those issues, as I've mentioned. On Honorable Sheikh, the code of conduct, as it appears on clause 6 of the bill, it says that the board must perform its function in terms of, in accordance with the code of conduct prescribed by the minister for the board in terms of section 89(1). And section 89(1) says minister must, by notice in the Gazette, publish a code of conduct for members of the board. Code of conduct, it will be developed by the minister, and it will be publicized before they could, the board could start its work, so that they can abide by that code of conduct. That's how it will be developed. So it will be a responsibility of the minister to make sure that there is a code of conduct that regulates the conduct of the members of the board. As we have indicated, that they are not employees of the council, so they will not be regulated by Labor Relations Act and so on. So theirs is to be bound by the code of conduct. On the warranty cover, Honorable Sheikh, is that the cover will start when the home is being built. So we are not having a year or so when you are building your home. But in addition to that, once you have started to occupy, in the roof, it will be 2 years from that time. And for structural damages, it would then be 5 years from occupation. So for all and intent purposes, it's not only 2 years for roof leakage. It is actually more, depending how long the house would have been built, including the house, even before you occupied it, it would have started to operate. That's thanks, honorable members.
Thank you very much, Mr. Masemola, for that. Any other contributions or follow-ups, Honorable Badenhorst?
Thank you for affording me the follow-up. It's on the same question that I asked you. I'm really not clear from the explanation of Mr. Masemola why only certain of the Western Cape inputs are considered and responded to in the presentation. If there was direct responses to and direct deliberations with the Western Cape Department, then could you please furnish me or this committee those responses to those inputs? And I feel strongly about this. There was a public participation process, and the responses emanating from that process, the inputs are valuable inputs and substantive, and I think it deserves a response. I don't know why it seems like it's glanced over. I'm sorry if I'm using accusatorial language here, but it worries me that there was a substantive inputs and we don't see the responses to those inputs, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I see Honorable Sheikh again. Over to you, Honorable Sheikh.
Thanks very much, Jefferson. I think maybe I hear what Honorable Badenoch is raising, but Chair, I think we had a previous engagement, because I know even from my province there were other issues raised as well. But my understanding is that those matters were dealt with in our previous meeting, all the issues that emanated from provinces, and what we're dealing with now are actually the proposed amendments that come out of those submissions. Chair, that's my understanding in terms of the process. Chair, I just thought I should make that comment in terms of where we are. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheikh. Thank you very much. Last week, the second, Honorable Mr. Masemula, you can respond or comment on the issues that Honorable Badenoch and Honorable Sheikh raised.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. No, I think we agree with Honorable Sheikh that that's the process that we understood how it was going. So we went to different provinces, all 9 provinces, and issues that were raised in public comments and all that. After going through public hearings, we then came back to the province and responded. In fact, in Western Cape, I think we had responded to the comments that he's referring to on the 24th of October, to the comments that he's referring to. But I'm sure if he's not privy to that, we will look for them and then we'll send them the, when we're responding to comments from Western Cape. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Masemula. Other members, that is the submission, and those are the questions and the clarities which were obtained from the questions from members. Any other contribution that you want to... Sorry? Any contribution that you would like to make before we chart a way forward about what needs to be done and how we must follow up the processes?
Jefferson, I think my hand's up again.
Oh, yes. What I'm saying?
Thank you very much, Jefferson. Jefferson, I think that we've been seized with this ball for some time.
Yes.
And I think in terms of the feelers that has been presented to us, that we noted, because I think the proposed amendments are largely related to the more technical and or drafting amendments,
yes,
or corrections that are being made. And that I would propose that we move forward then in terms of the next meeting to deal with the dealers,
yeah,
or the dealers should be. Thank you
that's
very
correct.
Much.
That's correct, what I would say. If there are no other comments, the way forward is going to be as follows. We take these submissions from the provinces as well as the proposed bill that is before us to Parliament, to the committee that is going to incorporate all of this into the bill itself, in what is called the deal list, and that this deal list will be submitted before us. We are going to have the next meeting in respect of this next week Friday. We will have a meeting next week Friday where we are going to consider the deal list as a whole. And once we are considering it and happy, we will send it back to all the 9 provinces for their own final mandates. This process is how it's going to unfold. And that once the final mandates are concluded and submitted before us, we will look at the whole bill itself,
discuss, engage with all the submissions made with a view of adopt the bill and thereafter adopting a report that will be taken to the House. And I think with all of this, we are doing quite well, and we'll be able to finalize this particular process on time. This is how we are going to proceed, honorable members. This is how we are going to do. And I really want to apologize because where I am, I'm in a very, very awkward situation, and I apologize that the regalia that I'm wearing is not one of the best. Show some colors that I'm trying my level best to, and the logo and the emblem that I'm trying to avoid in respect of this particular meeting. I see the hand of Mr. or Ms. Makabeni, as well as Honorable Bayer Smith. And who else? Yeah. Over to you, Ms. Makabeni, and followed by Mr. Bayer Smith. Thank you.
Thank Chair. I'm Sister Makabeni. I'm the State Advisor who assisted in the development of the C-list.
Okay.
Just on a matter of procedure, Chair, just to assist the committee, I think to enable the committee secretaries to forward the C-list to the printers, the committee would need to adopt the C-list. So they would need to, you would need to have a mover and seconder on the amendments that are made, so that it's then inserted into TP. Yes, Chair. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much for that intervention. I'll do that. I just omitted assuming that we will all understand, but I think procedure, well, you are spot on. Honorable Bayer Smith.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I am glad that you've mentioned the matter around the regalia. I think you know what the process is around that, so that is covered. Chair, I want to ask, in terms of the negotiating mandates, and again, you know, from previous experience, that there come some issues around that, because when a certain province have got certain proposals for amendments, we need to have mandates from the other provinces in terms of those suggestions for changes. So I haven't seen that we've voted on each amendment individually within the process yet. So I just want to understand in terms of where we are with that, because I hear that we want to adopt something, but we haven't gone through each of the proposed amendments by each province. Now, for a province, because it's a negotiating mandate, so the mandate comes from the province's side, so obviously all recommended amendments from the provinces should be shared with other provinces to give us a mandate whether we support such an amendment or we reject such amendment, or we propose, because that's where the negotiation comes in terms of negotiating mandates, is to agree amongst provinces on the various submissions by the various provinces. So I just want to get clarity on that. And that is, again, it's a procedural matter that I just want us to have correct throughout. Thank you, Chair.
Well, all right, we will respond to that. But before, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. But I thought maybe I actually wanted to move for the adoption of the C-list, because my understanding is that with the D-list, what would go back to provinces for final mandates. But yeah, that was my submission, that we adopt the C-list. But perhaps, Chair, after you deal with Honorable Smith's issue, I'll come back again.
No. Honorable Smith, this is what we are going to do in respect of the moving and seconding and adopting this particular still list submissions from different provinces. But as I understand, Honorable Smith, the process is very, very straightforward. We are going to incorporate all the views of the provinces, which are going to be publicized, and the provinces would know what other provinces have got to say, and based on that, they will be free to comment at that particular point. And they will also have to comment on the whole D-list, which would necessarily incorporate everything that we would have considered and adopted as this committee. The process is ongoing, and everybody is free to make the necessary comments. And the honor is on us as a committee to consider those particular proposals, refer them back to the provinces, and yes, the provinces will be free to make their own comments and know what other provinces have proposed, because we would have necessarily incorporated everything into the D-list. This is how we are going to proceed forward. Can I move for the...
Jay, just follow up on that, please, Jay.
Oh, I see iPhone 3 and...
is the honorable Zamai. I don't know who can fix it for me to be Kenum Zamai. I was just want to support it when after Kate move with it.
Yeah, we are not yet there. We will come to that. Yes, we'll come to that. Let's firstly entertain the views expressed by Honorable Smith. Over to you again, Honorable Smith.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I hear what you say, but once it goes back to the provinces for final mandate, the final mandate then says we support the bill as it is, or we reject it as it is. And that's where the final mandate come in, because the amendments need to be done before it's sent back for final mandate. That's how I understand it. So if we're going to send it back with all the submissions without amending the bill according to the negotiating mandates, then when are those changes going to be implemented? Because once it goes to final mandate, it's a matter of voting whether the bill with the amendments are supported or not. That is the final mandate.
Honorable Smith, we have received the C-list. Let me be slow. We have received the C-list from provinces. The department has responded to each and every issue that was raised by provinces, and that they have made some technical amendments to the bill itself. And Mr. Masemola took us through that particular process. It is with us now. We must adopt it. Second it. Somebody must propose the adoption, second it, and then adopt it. And with all of that, it goes to our legal team in Parliament to incorporate everything. As I said, next week we'll be here again to discuss, and we are not going to overlook anything that is proposed already from what comes from provinces. The department, through its proposal, it has incorporated some of those particular issues, and that when this bill comes back to us before it goes to the provinces for the final mandate, we'll look at it again and have the possibility to discuss and engage, taking into account what provinces have indicated, and members already have the submissions from the provinces. And once it goes back to as a D-list going to the provinces, the provinces are going to either say, as you say, adopt or accept or reject the bill. But obviously, they are going to make their own comments. They are going to comment as to why they reject, why they support, and what areas they think were extensively covered or not covered. And the whole process will come back to us again for deliberations. And with a view of deliberating and thereafter adopt in the report. As I said, this is a long process, and this process doesn't exclude anybody. It doesn't inhibit anyone. It can make the necessary comments, and everybody's free to comment. Mr. Makabeni has just indicated that once the seal is adopted, it will be publicized, and everybody, including the provinces, anybody who wants to make further comments, they are free to do that, because this will be published, it will be open for everybody. This process is very, very clear, and this is how it must unfold going forward. Actually, on the contrary, it is good that people make the submissions, it is good that people make proposals, and it is equally good that we as a committee take all of these issues into account. We must take them into consideration, because in the final analysis, what we want to see is a good law that deals with housing consumer protection. It's a law that will help South Africa to move forward in terms of protecting consumers, housing consumers, against defects, against having the warranty scheme and all of those sorts of things. This is very, very much important. And all the contributions are welcomed as such, and they must be taken into consideration in a meaningful way. And yes, let's allow this process to unfold in the way that it is procedurally correct, that it unfolds. And at that particular point, we will make our own necessary proposals. I think we must end it there, honorable members. This is work in progress, and I want to really thank everybody. Anyone who wants to move for the adoption?
Chairperson, sorry, I just want a clarity question. I'm not going to go into any merits. I just want a clarity question. So when are we going to vote the province on each amendment? Is that going to happen next week?
The provinces are going to, with their final mandate, we would know how many provinces would have supported the bill, and as you know...
No, Chair, you must understand my question, sorry. My question is, on each amendment, on clause by clause, when are we going through clause by clause with amendments proposed by every province? When are we going and voting on that? Because that's part of the process of negotiating mandate. So if it's not happening this week, I'm asking, is it going to happen next week? Before we send it back to the provinces.
Honorable Shane, can you really help us on that? Because I thought perhaps that we have considered every submission from the province, and that the department has articulated some technical amendments to the bill itself, and we are at a point where we must formally adopt the C list as proposed. And just help us on that, because we're dealing with all of these issues, and we want to be really meticulous and not be unprocedural and flaw the process unnecessarily. This is something that we can correct. Maybe I'm missing something that is quite important here. Can you, or Mr. Makabeni, help us in that respect as our legal advisor?
Thanks, Chair. I take it that the parliamentary legal advisor is also on the platform, Chair. The process, Chair, is that you are at the stage now where you should be considering the bill clause by clause, and next to that, the fee list and the responses of the department on the negotiating mandate.
We have done that. You've
listened to the responses of the department on the negotiating mandate. So the previous meeting, you listened to negotiating mandate, and then you now ask the department to respond to those mandates. Now the department has responded to the mandate. Now
yes.
it's up to the committee now to say, are they accepting the department's explanations on those issues, and then are they accepting the list that is presented by the department? Then the proper way of doing it, Chair, I suppose, is to go clause by clause to say, on clause one, we agreed to the clause as it is. Clause two, we agreed to the clauses. If there's a clause that is there's a proposed amendment in the C list, then you agree to that clause, subject to that proposed amendment on the C list. So that could be the way to do it. But if there is a province then that still feels that there's a matter that they raise, they would raise it in that clause, and the other provinces would then vote on the matter to say if they agree with it or not. So the matter would fall or stand there.
Okay, I apologize for making that assumption, but it's okay. It's not lost at all. We will deal with that. But I see many hands now. Honorable Mutamai, followed by Honorable Bartlett.
No, Chair, I wanted to propose adoption of government after explanation. I'll just hear from you, Chair.
No, we'll have to go clause by clause before we do that, so that we have meticulous and ensure that no stone is unturned. Honorable Mutamai? Honorable Mutamai? Mr. Makabeni, just lower your hand as well. I see Honorable Mutamai had raised his hand. I also want him to lower it so that there is no confusion. All right, yes. Can one of you as the host publicize that so that we go quickly close by close? It's okay, let's do it.
Jameson?
It's not a train smash.
No, it's not Moss, it's Honorable Smith. Sorry, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Smith.
My apology, I was supposed to put my hand up. I apologize for that. Chairperson, I just want clarity again on the matter now that we are clear that we have to vote clause by clause. It is a negotiating mandate, and the mandate need to come from the province. So that's why I asked this, because all these amendments, each amendment proposed by every province must now get a mandate from the other eight provinces in terms of are those provinces supporting such a amendment or not? And then we go through amendment by amendment, clause by clause, and then come to the final. That's when the C list gets finalized, adopted, and then it goes back to the provinces for a D list, which then goes with the final mandate, then the province will decide. So I'm concerned, Chair, sorry, let me just finish. I am just concerned, if we're going to vote now on clause by clause, and we did not get a mandate from the provinces from which we are from, on whether to support an amendment by our other province or not, we are acting outside of the boundaries of the negotiating mandate. Because we cannot, as individuals, this is a Section 76, it's a provincial mandate, not an individual mandate. So we need to get a negotiating mandate on every single amendment proposed from our provinces, a yes or a no. Thank you, Chair.
No, it's okay. There's no problem as such. We are going to put all the clauses on the screen and consider the submissions from provinces and vote on each. That is why I said it's not a train smash.
On which mandate, if we vote now, because I didn't get a mandate from my province on whether I should support, for example, the Western Cape's Amendment 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6. You understand? So I need to have a mandate. Otherwise, I can't vote on something that I didn't get a mandate on, because it's not my individual mandate. It is a provincial mandate that must be given by us, by the portfolio committees in every province.
No, it's okay. We'll come back to that. Honorable Sheikh, and followed by Mr. Makabeni.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. My understanding is that we've received inputs on the bill from all provinces. We've considered them, or we've received technical and policy inputs from the departments on the matters, and we've come to this point where there are proposed technical amendments on the ball. Obviously, we are a select committee on COPTA. We come from different provinces. We're looking at this bill, and we obviously these proposed amendments that we will then go clause by clause and adopt, will that go back to a province, to each and every province for final mandate? And that's where provinces will consider, you know, all of these amendments before they come back with the final mandate. Thank you very much.
Okay. Honorable Badenhorst?
I am still not clear on this, and unfortunately, it's my first year in Parliament. My understanding of the Section 76 is you get a mandate from your province. I don't know how we can, or I can now vote on behalf of my province without a mandate on any of the changes proposed by other provinces. So I just want to support Honourable Smith in this.
Actually, I don't understand what is your expectation. Your expectation is that with what the provinces have indicated and tabled in this meeting, we must firstly take it back to the provinces and that they must tell each one of us whether we must support this and support on or not support
correct.
This before we come back here.
That's correct.
That's not my understanding. Mr. McAvenis, just help us on that because we are at this point and late in the hour. 3 months before the elections, after 5 years, we should be by the end of the process. Just clarify this meticulously, slowly to all of us so that we are in agreement.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks. Section 65 of the Constitution, Chairperson, deals with how you in the NCOP take decisions. So Section 65.1 says, except where the Constitution provides otherwise, each province has one vote, which is cast on behalf of the province by the head of the delegation. And all questions before the National Council of Provinces are agreed when at least 5 provinces vote in favor of the question. And then, Chairperson, Section 65.2 provides for an act of parliament enacted in accordance with the procedure in Section 76 of the Constitution to provide for a uniform procedure in terms of which provincial legislatures confer authority on their delegates to cast votes on their behalf. Then it says that Section 5, which deals with negotiating mandates, it says a committee designated by a provincial legislature must, in accordance with the form prescribed in Schedule 1, which is the form that provides for negotiating mandates, how a negotiating mandate must look. It must confer authority on its provincial delegation to the NCOP of the parameters for negotiation when the relevant NCOP select committee consider a bid. So the relevant select committee in this case is you, it's this committee. So yes. when you consider the bill, you would have received negotiating mandates, the parameters of negotiation from each province.
Yes,
and may include in the proposed amendments to the bill in that negotiating mandate. So the decision making is done in terms of Section 65 of the Constitution. That process of 5 provinces taking a decision on behalf of the committee on each issue that needs to be decided. So you have received mandates from each province, and then you as the committee sit and consider those and decide on which ones are acceptable and which ones are not acceptable as a committee. And then this is where the CILIS comes in now to say, okay, these are the ones that we agree to. That is the CILIS. Those are the negotiating mandates that you would have agreed to. And then that's it. And then from there, Section 6 talks of the conferral of the final mandate, going back to the provinces for final mandates. So I won't go there, Chair. We're not there yet.
Leave the final mandate. We are here talking about the negotiating mandate that provinces presented here, which were submitted here based on the provincial inputs. What is it that must be done now? Must to
we go back to the provinces before we develop the further mandate or not. That is an option.
No, if I can... Sorry, Che.
Wait first. And I want to get a proper clarity. Yes, please. Mr. Makabeni, just speak to that.
But have I indicated, so you have the negotiating mandate before you now. So as the committee, you then consider those mandates as the committee and take a decision on those mandates, which is where
I mean the mandate of delegates from provinces to vote on the C list that has been presented before us. What must happen? Yes.
Remember, the C list is a process that emanates in this committee, Chair. It doesn't come from the provinces. Yes. What would have come from the provinces is the parameters of negotiation. So each province would say, these are the issues that we think should change in the bill. And then that's the parameters within which each province negotiates. And then it comes to the committee. The committee considers that and take a position on each clause on that problem.
Now, the difficulty, maybe you don't understand, the difficulty is that some members are saying they can't vote yes or no, or they can't vote on the amendments without the mandates from their provinces. That is a sticky point that we must resolve now.
Honorable
Bartlett, please wait. If you want to speak, raise your hand. Or speak of your mind.
There are no two negotiating mandates, sir. You receive a negotiating mandate from each province.
The
Mandating Procedures Act provides for one set of negotiating mandates. So those come to the committee. The committee would then need to take a decision considering those negotiating mandates. So that's why the Constitution says each province has one vote on the matter, and five provinces carry the decision on the matter. So if five provinces agree on a certain matter, then that matter is carried here. But you have parameters informed by the negotiating mandates from each province. So as the committee, you take the decision now.
Okay. I hear you. Honorable Smith?
Yes.
Please.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Yeah, apologies for that. On the parameters of the decision, because that's where my concern is. If a negotiating mandate, for example, for Limpopo is silent on any of the other amendments by other provinces, then I don't have a mandate to vote on that. So I will have to either abstain or vote against it. And that's why I asked the first question, because when it comes to negotiating mandates, whenever there is a negotiation, we need to have clear parameters in terms of, do we support a province's recommendation or not? And that's when the negotiating between provinces take place. It is not an individual vote, so you can never vote individually and decide within the select committee, oh no, I support this one, I don't support that one, without getting a clear parameter on what is acceptable and what is not acceptable by the province. And that's why provinces should consider each other's amendments before it comes to us for negotiating. That must be the negotiating mandate, to say, this is our proposals, we want this done, we will support or we won't support this and this and this province's recommendation or amendment on those ones. And that's how I understand it should happen, because that's a proper negotiation that comes from the province, and we've got a clear mandate on what we should do as a delegate who is representative of my province. So I just want that clarity, because if we do this wrong, it will be a technical issue. Thank you, Jay.
Let me firstly say, Honorable Smith,
throughout the last 4.5 years or 4 years, 9 months, we have not been doing what you are putting on the table now. That is why I'm in a modest way, in a very patient way, trying to listen and capture the essence of what you are saying. And believe you, I respect procedures. I disrespect unprocedural things, and I want to be meticulous in what I'm doing. That is why I'm patiently asking questions and wanting to know exactly in precision what is it that we need to do precisely that is okay, because necessarily we don't want anything out of this process to be rejected or to be challenged, its validity and so on. I'm going back to you, Mr. Makabeni. As a legal advisor, what you are putting on the table, it is not what Honorable Beyer Smith is saying. What is your proposal on that? Or what is your view on that?
Chair, the process has always been...
There's a hand by...
Yes.
I would imagine it's a parliamentary legal advisor.
Oh, okay. Who must I give first? Let me give Mr. Makabeni to finish first. Mr. Makabeni?
Thanks, Chair. I think you've captured it correctly, Chair, that the procedure has always been you received a negotiating mandate, then the members of the committee, because the Section 5 of the Mandating Procedures Act, it says you confer authority on the provincial delegation on the parameters for negotiation when the relevant NCOP committee considers the bill. So if you consider the bill, you would have received the negotiating mandate, but you still take a decision as delegates in the NCOP committee.
Yes.
So it's you who consider the bill, and it's you who then negotiate within the parameters that you are given by the various provinces.
Yes, that's my understanding. You don't necessarily have to get a mandate from the province. There are parameters based on this, and that you make a decision as a delegate of the province, whether you abstain or whether you support or you don't support. That's how it is. But for the benefit of doubt, let me give the legal advisor from Parliament to also have a bite. Over to you, legal advisor.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to all on the platform. I just thought I'd step in here to confirm what my colleague Sisa Makabeni from the State Law Advisor has been saying throughout this morning. So the procedure is that the negotiating mandates are received. The committee considers those mandates and the committee takes the decision. And this is the negotiating stage. It is not the final mandate stage. We are still getting there. So I'm in full agreement with whatever CISA, my colleague, has said, and I don't know how else to make it clearer, but I think for the most part, I mean, the legal team is on the same page. This is where we are. This is the correct.
All right. Thank you very much. As a chair, I'm making a ruling. I've listened to everybody in the process. We have received submissions from the provinces and the responses from the department. We are now going to consider clause by clause, and there are parameters in which all of us as delegates from the provinces must negotiate and must engage on this particular thing. And as I indicated from the beginning, the process is not yet complete and this is not a final mandate. We are public representatives, we are from different provinces, and provinces have given us the parameters in which we can negotiate. It is not necessary that they must tell us in precision what to say in meetings of this nature. This is how my understanding and the understanding of many of us, including the legal advisor that we have re-emphasized this morning about how we must proceed forward. Now, the decision is that place this on the table. We are going to go clause by clause, and that the provinces are going to vote on that, and that that will be what we consider adopting for purposes of moving this process forward and of
producing the tea list, that must be considered back by this committee before it goes to provinces. Thank you for that. Can must one of you send the clauses so that we take clause by clause?
Chairperson, can I just make a comment? I would like even the legal people to make a comment on this matter.
Okay.
My understanding, Chair, we're not required today to go post by post, Chair. Let me just give you a context, Chair. There were negotiating mandates that emanated from the provincial legislature. The department has responded to those, some of the proposed amendments from various legislatures. The department has tabled a C list. Procedurally, what should happen today is the removal and adoption of a C list. And you have indicated quite clear that next week we'll convene a meeting where the C list will be incorporated with the bill to produce a D list, meaning all that information will be sent to provincial legislature. Finally, that will result to a final mandate emanating from the province. But I would like our legal person to comment on what I've said, that we are not required today to table the bill.
Yeah, you know, this is, as I indicated, it has been 4 years, 9 months, working on this. And this is not the first Section 76 bill that we have considered. And I've been very, very democratic in allowing the discussion, maybe with a view of saying, maybe I've been doing things that are wrong. And personally, if I do something wrong, I would like to improve, and that is why I'm asking questions and then getting clarity. But what we are doing here is totally what I consider strange to me, and we have not done this in the past. But be that as it may, I don't know whether there's anyone who wants to comment before I make a ruling on this. Honorable Dango, I see your hand up. No hand up.
I have lowered my hand, Chairperson, just to say I'm getting kicked in and out of this meeting all the time, so it may be my electricity.
And Moss is saying something that he has been doing for the rest of his tenure here in Parliament, more than 24 years, working on this, doing almost the same thing that we are doing today. Yeah, but based on this, I'm making another ruling. We are not going to do this thing clause by clause. We are going to move for the adoption, second that, any abstention. If it is made, we record it, and that we take this thing back. I'm making that ruling. If I've made a mistake, it will be a mistake that I will live with throughout. Because I'm not in a position of undoing something that I've done in the past. Honorable Bartlett, I move any further move for the adoption of this process.
Honorable
I'm at this point, Honorable Bayer-Smith.
Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Honorable Smith, please. Please,
I just want to report my objection. That's all I want to do. I want to report my objection to the process.
It's okay. I've said that, and I'll respect your view for that. Fine. Honorable Bartlett, you are on the platform.
Yes, Chair. I said I wanted to speak before your ruling, but it's fine. You made the ruling. So I just want to move for the adoption of this report. Thank you, Chair.
All right, thank you very much, Honorable Bartlett. Any seconder?
I second the Chairperson.
Honorable Dango seconds. Any objection? Over to you, Honorable Smith. And Honorable Badenhorst, you object and second you. Any abstention? None, let's vote. Those who support the adoption of the bill can raise their hands. I just want to count properly.
Honorable Mosamai Khamke, Honorable Sheikh Limpopo, Honorable Bartlett, Honorable Mbali Mpumalanga, myself, Honorable Bayer Smith, yes.
My hand is up. I put my hand up, my chair.
I noted it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hands, including my hand. Okay, thank you very much. Those who object, can you lower your hand? I want to check those who object. Honorable Bayer Smith, you are confusing us. Your hand was up at the time that we...
The hand was up on the original question.
Yes.
So my hand was up on the question. No hands were put down before we voted. So I'm objecting. Thank you, Chair.
It's okay. It is. We're not voting on the bill. We're voting on the process now. No, we're not voting on the process. We're voting on the adoption.
Of what, Chair?
Of what was presented before us.
So we're voting on the inputs from the provinces.
Yes, as well as the submission, the corrections and the technical corrections that were made by this panel.
Then please note my objection. I misunderstood.
Yes, I've noted it. It's you and Honorable Bayer Smith who have objected to this. I've noted that.
Any objection?
I'm not irritated with you because I'm clarifying you. I'm so sweet where I'm cool. It's just that you interrupt and interject, which is not correct. You must raise up your hand so that the meeting flows, please. Any abstention? No abstention. The process and the report presented before us is adopted. As I indicated, this will be refined. Everything will be incorporated into a D-list. This committee will meet once again to consider all the submissions, the DVs, before they are sent to the province. As I indicated, this process needs to be marshaled and be done meticulously until it is completed. And this is how we are going to really proceed forward. With that, let me take this opportunity to thank everybody for attending this meeting. This was a very, very good meeting, an important meeting that to deal with the C list and the comments from different provinces and the response from the department itself. And I want to thank everybody for having attended this meeting, including the officials from the department and parliament. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned until we meet again to facilitate this particular process. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.